Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You got a pen? You got a piece of paper? Because that's what you're going to be doing today. The excitement today is some 18-year-old sitting somewhere in a room with a bunch of hats. Are we going to do the hat thing again today? Is that what's going to happen? It is, air quotes, National Signing Day. And welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh. Hugh is off. He'll be back on Friday. John Chuckery is in his stead, and he's what are you doing? Leave Daryl alone.
I just gave him the diamond cutter.
He diamond cut me this morning.
Gave him the diamond cutter already.
At 6:01?
Can I pimp something real quick?
I guess.
I'll raise my hand.
Bruh.
11 o'clock this morning, I'm going to go hang out with the pro wrestling guys, Bo LeBlanc and Tony Schiavone. So we're going to be on Facebook Live at 11 o'clock this
morning. Pimp that through the show because there'll be new audiences and – you know, you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's okay.
And can I give 2 birthday shout-outs from yesterday, too?
All right, Dick Clark, long-distance dedication.
You know, yesterday was Keith Richards' 75th birthday.
He's still alive?
No, he's only halfway to his end of his life. He's only like halfway. You know he's going to outlive all of us, right?
Well, yeah, because he's permanently
There'll be cockroaches
involved.
And Keith Richards. You understand? Like, there are no more drugs to do. We have to wait till he dies and smoke his ashes to be able to get high if anybody wants to do that again.
What do you want to do next, Casey Kasem?
We might.
Keep reaching for the stars?
And by the way, Arthur, yesterday too, 54 years old, happy birthday to my spirit animal, the former Steve Williams. Known as Stone Cold Steve Austin, baby.
Boom! Ba-dum.
There was nothing like boom, when that glass would break and he'd come walking out there.
Yeah, nothing like it.
You got some Steve Weisers?
Tell you what. Here, should I give John a salute? Morning to you, John. Give the Stone Cold salute to start the morning off with. Ah.
Did somebody put something in your
coffee?
Did you
just see this?
It's only Wednesday.
Yeah. It's my spirit animal.
It's the John Chuckery takeover.
Hey, Arthur, you listen to Falcon Flyover. It's the Georgia Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Chuckery, the Cerebral Assassin, Rob Tribble.
You guys
make
my
power trip.
The Cerebral Assassin?
Yeah, the Cerebral Assassin, Rob
Tribble. I would think a lot of things about Tribble,
but the Cerebral Assassin would not be one of them. We have 3 producers on that show, Arthur. We've got Brian the Dragon Gebhardt, Craig the Hammer Valentino, and you just saw Marshall in here, the dog-faced gremlin, Marshall Parker.
The dog-faced gremlin.
He is the dog-faced gremlin.
Yeah.
He is a Steiner. He looks like a Steiner, too.
He does. Dog-faced gremlin.
It is 6:03, and we are completely off the rails.
Yeah. Well, oh, hell yeah.
What happens when you invite John Chuckery into your party?
Y'all did this to us.
I didn't do anything. I wasn't my call, all right?
I love it.
I was told, hey, you's going to be off a couple of days and Chuckery's going to be in. I said, do I have any say? It's my show. They went, no. I went, okay.
Praise God.
Well, that's because everybody else quit or got fired. So, I mean,
well, there's that. I mean, besides that, you know, I mean, we had to go down that list. We finally came to your name.
Randy's taken. Randy's busy.
So, what time?
Randy's busy in the afternoons this week, so he ain't got no time.
So, what time are you giving him the Stone Cold Stunner?
Oh, I tell you. Poor John, man. He didn't even know what's coming.
Please do not stun John.
Oh, poor
do
John.
Not stun John.
He'll take it like Donald Trump did, you know? He'll take it like Trump. He'll just kind of collapse and fall. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I did work at CNN, so. There is that. We are, in theory, talking about sports this morning because it is, National Signing Day is first Monday of February, but really it's not anymore. The National Signing Day is today. And so you'll hear guys and coaches and players and pundits today talk about the early signing day. All right, let's dispense with this early signing day. It's not the early signing day anymore.
Well, I think it caught people off guard how big it was last year, John.
It did.
I mean, I think people underestimated. I think we all thought, let's see how this works. Let's see how – to me personally, August would be, to me, signing day. I mean, I don't even know why waiting till December, to be honest with you. I mean, I think kids should be able to – sign is if you really want to commit and you want to get to a program, all right, put your name. I don't care if it's August, September, put your name on a piece of paper.
I don't disagree with that. I think you should just be open, and I think that there ought to be different rules. I tend to agree with you. I don't think you ought to be able to sign anybody prior to their senior year beginning.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
And
yes.
Because you get these kids that you know, commit early. And basically, you know, you say, police yourselves. No more of this, you know, ridiculous. Lane Kiffin has offered a scholarship to 8-year-old Bobby Joe Johnson, quarterback for the Pee Wee. You know, come and stop. All right. You know, I mean, enough of that. But, I don't disagree with you. But what happened last year, they opened up this early signing period, all right? And so the early signing period was the thought was that what they would do is open it up and, you know, they could get a few guys in and you could have them, you know, start January, you know, classes and whatnot. Turn it into absolutely signing day. And so we'll see. And we got more on this coming up throughout the program today. Georgia's going to have a very good class. You know, Jeff Collins is out there trying to play a little bit of catch-up.
He's going to have to scramble a lot.
He is.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Bohannon at Kennesaw State and Sean Elliott, our buddy down at Georgia State, are out there, you know, beating the woods around. The one great thing if you're Kennesaw State or Georgia State is that you can go out. Atlanta is such a
– John, I say it all the time.
Trove.
Just walk down the street, pick up a rock, throw it as far as you can, and you'll hit 3-4-star kids on the way when it lands.
I know. This is welcome to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Which is right up there. I've been told many times, you could look at whatever site you want today, 24, the two biggest anymore, well, three might be Scout, 24/7, or Rivals. I have been a Rivals guy since Jeremy Crabtree started Rivals 25 years ago. So I tend to gravitate to Rivals. But if you want to go to 24/7, you want to go to ESPN stuff, you want to go to Scout, that's fine. You want to go to the Yahoo stuff. It doesn't matter where you go to get your rankings. I just tend to be a Rivals guy. And Jeremy Crabtree and Rivals has told me that it was about, 15 years ago where Atlanta passed Dallas and became the number three market in terms of high school football talent in the nation, about 15 years ago. Because it goes, number one is L.A. Southern California, number two is Miami, South Florida, number three is Metro Atlanta.
Yeah, what was it? Was it last year or the year before where they had the stats that more kids were drafted in the NFL that went to high school in Metro Atlanta or something like that?
Right.
I mean, the talent is absurd in this. That's why I don't – anytime you hear about like what bothered me about Georgia State was those first few years of trying to live off of grad transfers and JUCO transfers, especially at quarterback and things like that. You know, when you're a young program, go recruit your guys. Bring your guys in and develop them versus rolling the dice on guys that came from somewhere else and hoping that you catch lightning in a bottle. I got news for him. Mark Helfrich learned real quick. I mean, he got fired for that because he couldn't replace Marcus Mariota, and he tried to go the JUCO transfer route and all that kind of stuff, and it ended up killing him when those kids didn't work out.
That kid from Eastern Washington or whatever that was.
And I mean, once that doesn't work out and you don't have anybody in the pipeline, because that's the lifeblood now of college football, is you got to recruit. And you can't worry about, not every 5-star kid is going to end up as a first-round pick in the NFL. Going to be plenty that flame out. But you got to start by getting as many of those kids on your campus as you can. And that's what Georgia's going to learn about Justin Fields is this is life in the we're recruiting at Alabama level. I mean, that's just the life that you have to lead is not everybody in your program is going to stay with you and want to go somewhere else.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricchino. He was off today, and so John Chuckery is in. And hopefully, if you listen to the opening segment, you may have kind of learned a little bit about how to do sports talk radio. And I gave you a little lesson in it is when John Chuckery's going crazy, just shift the conversation to 18-year-old young men and he settles down and everything seems to start to flow nice and smooth again, okay? What?
Time's Rick and John on?
No, I just was thinking about National Signing Day because I get into it too. I kind of missed the February though.
Nah,
You don't.
I'm not a big National Signing Day guy. No, I mean, I get it. Look, it's these kids' big shining moment, and for some of these kids, it'll be their biggest moment that they have. Unfortunately, I mean, but I don't know. I don't get into pageant and hoopla because really, to me, recruiting classes don't mean a whole lot. I get the concept. You got to get kids on there, but talk to me in 2 or 3 years about who you got.
Hey, has the early signing period actually ended the whole cake, multiple cakes, the hat thing?
I don't think, has it?
Well, because, if you look at the top players in the country, They pretty much committed.
I think all but one of the top 50 players in the state of Georgia is, or I think one of the top 50 players, maybe even nationwide, I think it is. I think there's only one that's not committed. So everybody has committed. Now, but what does that mean? Like 3 years from now, you know, we keep talking about all the five-star quarterbacks. I mean, what does it mean that Shea Patterson committed to Ole Miss?
Right.
What does that do for Ole Miss today?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I know. It's this is transfers or us.
I mean, what does Jacob Eason and Justin Fields do for Georgia right now?
It is also a day where Dan Quinn will join the program. We'll speak with the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And this, of course, coming on the heels of the fact that the Pro Bowl team was announced. I'm going to be interested to ask Coach Quinn about the Pro Bowl announcement yesterday. Look, I'm not going to make a big deal out of this, but I'm going to make a little deal out of this, John. How do you select Aaron Rodgers over Matt Ryan? Are you sure that
Jared Goff should have been in over Matt Ryan?
Or, and not even sure Jared Goff should be in over Matt Ryan. But Aaron Rodgers?
Drew Brees, I get.
Well, of course, Drew Brees. I get Drew Brees, right.
But
even then, Ryan has better numbers than Drew Brees. I mean, if it's just numbers.
Right. But I don't know that they're outside of Drew Brees in the NFC. Has there been a better quarterback than Matt Ryan? I don't think there's been.
Right. I mean, Matt Ryan, not make the Pro Bowl.
If they were 9-5 instead of 5-9, he's probably in the MVP race.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Well, maybe okay, if that's the case, but I mean, there are other players that made the Julio Jones made the Pro Bowl. Alex Mack made the Pro Bowl. It's not like the Falcons didn't have Pro Bowlers.
No, but is that some of that reputation? Is Alex Mack the best center in the NFC right now?
Yeah, some of it's always, you know, and I don't know how you pick, I mean, how you grade. There's certain offensive linemen who are just obvious, who jump off the page at you. You know, I mean, the old school, like an Anthony Munoz or an Orlando Pace or somebody like that, or even somebody new school like Taylor Lewan, who just jumps off the page because he pancakes people and he owns the line of scrimmage. Rest of it, especially when you get the interior guys, the two guards in the center, what's it based upon? Just I didn't let up a sack or I don't know.
I didn't see it. Quentin
Nelson. Is there a metric for centers?
Did Nelson make the Pro Bowl? Did Nelson make the Pro Bowl for Indianapolis?
You know, I'd have to have the list. I don't have the list in front of me.
Yes, he did. You know, he's the next Steve Hutchinson. I want a guy like that for the Falcons. I want a guy like Quentin Nelson. Can we get one of those kinds of guys that comes in and just is going to road grade your line of scrimmage for the next decade?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't
know.
You
get one of those guys, John?
Yeah.
Give me one of those guys?
I want a Mike Ken, yes.
Can I get a Ken or Bill Fralick?
Bill Fralick, yeah. Jeff Van Note. Lincoln Kennedy, Bob Whitfield,
Houston Hoover.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, it is signing day. Where does Georgia rank? Where does Bama rank? What about Georgia Tech's class? And who are the top players in the nation? And where are they going?
Now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today, National Signing Day, and that's what I'm going to refer to it as until change it. The early signing period opens. Okay, well, it's 90-some-odd% of all the players are going to sign today. Therefore, it is National Signing Day. Welcome back to the morning show with John and John Chuckery today, filling in for you as we talk a little college football as we get signing day going on. And again, I want to say this just up front. If you, there are a lot of sites that you could choose. For the purposes of our discussion this morning, at least from my angle, John, and if you want to use another site, that's fine. I use Rivals because I always have, all right? As the first one I used, I've always used Rivals. If you want to use 24/7, I don't want anybody tweeting me going, we're not the number 4 class, we're not the number 3 class, we're the number 2 class. It depends on the site you go to, okay? They're different rankings. The only thing that we do know is that Alabama's number 1 in everybody, all right?
Yeah.
Okay? Like, for example, I think Georgia's 2 in 24/7, but they're 3 in Rivals, okay? I mean, so let's not get too upset about all this. It depends on the site that you use. Who's the number one player in the nation? That depends on the site that you use.
Right.
You know, and so Rivals has it this way. Alabama 1, Texas A&M number 2. How about Jimbo? If that, you know, I mean, wow. Walking in the door. I mean, of course, A&M's done a pretty good job of recruiting over the years. They just haven't coached them up.
No, they haven't had the guy that could get the most out of those. I mean, a few years ago, their talent was off the chart. Mm-hmm. But Jimbo can do it, man. Jimbo's the man. That 2010 class that he brought into Florida State with DeAndre Jameis Winston and those guys, yeah. That's one of the best recruiting classes of all time.
Rivals has Georgia 3, Clemson 4, Oregon 5, You know, shout out to Mario Cristobal.
He's got arguably, if you want to say that he's the number one player, that what is it, that Thibodeau or whatever, the number one player in the nation. It's either him or the kid that's going to Georgia, Smith. Nolan Smith, the defensive end out of Florida.
Or in the case, all right, since we're there, in the case of rivals, they put Derek Stingley Jr., who's a cornerback out of Baton Rouge and is going to LSU. Derek Stingley Jr., for you older heads, is the grandson of Darryl Stingley, who was kind of famous in the NFL, was a great wide receiver for the New England Patriots, got paralyzed in a terrible hit on the field where he landed on his head. Anyway,
that's the Jack Tatum hit, right?
Yeah, I believe so, right? Yeah. It was Jack Tatum that hit him. Yeah, it was one of those Raiders. Was it George Atkinson? And pardon me if I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Bama 1, this is rivals again. Bama 1, Texas A&M 2, Georgia 3, SEC, SEC, SEC. Clemson 4, Oregon 5, Texas 6, LSU 7, Oklahoma 8, Notre Dame 9, and Michigan 10. Now, again, if you find another site that has Georgia 2 and you want to get all up in your feelings about it, fine. I think if you're in the top 10, you're fine. If you're in the top 20, you're probably fine because there isn't a whole lot of difference. This is the problem with the star system. Between a very high 3-star and a very low 5-star, there really isn't a whole lot of difference.
Right. It matters what you do with them once they're on campus. What do you do with them once they get to your campus? What do you do with those kids? That's what matters the most.
Rivals has Georgia Tech at 50th, but keep this in mind too. They have a new head coach, and they have a very small class so far because he's playing a little bit of catch-up. And part of the problem with recruiting rankings, and if you go to the sites and look at this, is look at how class size matters, not just necessarily how many, you know, 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, but the size of the class matters. If you have a class with 12 recruits, of which, you know, half of them are 4-star guys, you may be well below a class that has no 4-star guys that happens to have 27 recruits.
Well, think about it too, with the transition to the more obviously kind of modern offense, if you will. Jeff Collins is going to have to go find probably two quarterbacks to come in just to be able to run camps and run his offense and get something. I mean, he may not get the guy that he wants to be his opening day starter, but he's going to have to get some guys in here right away just to be able to run his camps and his system and get ready for spring.
Well, it's not out of the question he could have a true freshman start next year. He's got the quarterback. Milton just won the 7A championship, beating Colquitt County. Milton's quarterback, a high 3-star, Jordan Yates, dual-threat quarterback at Milton, going to Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And Jordan Yates could end up the starter as a freshman at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, somebody besides like Tobias Oliver, somebody's going to have to start on there. You're not.
Yates is one of the top five dual-threat quarterbacks in the nation.
Yeah.
I mean, so I my guess is Jordan Yates from Milton High. If short of Justin Fields transferring there, I think that Jordan Yates from Milton High has a pretty good chance to, you know, potentially. But he's got a couple other guys on the staff on his team too. So I mean, Yates may not be the starter, but potentially he could go in and if he needed him to be a starter, but John,
it's such a different transformation about how you're going to run your offense from your blocking schemes to the type of offensive lineman to what your running back's response. I mean, This is not like an easy shift that Georgia Tech is about to go through. The reason why he got the contract that he did to be here as long as he did. So you talk about, it's one thing to install a new offense, John. It's another thing to have a complete culture change with the way your roster is set up, the way your offensive line, your running backs, your quarterback, the way all of that is set up for Georgia Tech is completely going to be in an overhaul mode.
Yeah, and you can see this too because they had two quarterbacks in his class. One is Jordan Yates. The other is a kid named Demetrius Knight out of Locust Grove, who's also a 3-star dual threat quarterback. So you can see he's going to RPO. I mean, that's exactly.
Oh yeah.
And so he's got two young freshmen he can pick from. He's going to have, you know. I don't know what happens with Tobias Oliver. I don't know that I've seen enough of Tobias Oliver throwing the football, or maybe I have seen enough of Tobias Oliver throwing the football to know that he's probably. I think Tobias, if I'm talking to Tobias, I'm saying, look, if you have any design to play at the next level, you're not going to be a quarterback in the NFL. Time for you to find a new spot. Now, do you want to be a safety? Do you want to be a cover corner? Do you want to be a slot guy? You know, because he can do all those things. As fast and shifty as he is,
right,
he could be in any of those things, but let's find you another spot.
Yeah, it's also hard to get those guys to want to especially early in their collegiate career, to want to change positions like that, especially when you've been a quarterback.
I know.
I mean, there's not as many Braxton Millers that are willing to do what they got to do.
But sometimes, sometimes these, option or wishbone or kind of quarterbacks can make the jump. Guys who can do it, who can make the jump from quarterback to another. Nolan Cromwell did it in the NFL.
Well, I mean, look at what Nick Marshall had to do.
Nick Marshall,
they told Nick Marshall, if you're coming to the Senior Bowl,
right,
you're going to have to come as a cornerback. They weren't going to bring Nick Marshall to the Senior Bowl as a quarterback. He was going to have to play cornerback. And everybody got all mad at Mark Richt because that's what Mark Richt wanted to do with Nick Marshall when he was at Georgia, was he wanted to play cornerback, not quarterback. Now, Gus ran a perfect system for him to do that, but for him to go to the Senior Bowl and get in the NFL, he had to switch positions and adapt to something new. But he fought that transition a lot. That's why he ended up at Auburn, because he didn't want to change positions.
Yeah, unfortunately for Georgia, he ended up at Auburn and
making
spectacular catches.
Yeah, and
beating miracle, Georgia.
A miracle on the plains or whatever.
Right, yeah. Bouncing off two players.
Yeah.
Of course. The latest on Justin Fields is he does get into the – we are learning kind of the new – I wasn't really so much aware that there was an actual portal.
Yeah, it's because they – back in October, they changed it to where you don't have to go and seek permission from your coaches and the school and all that kind of stuff. They've gotten away from – this is the Nick Saban rule. Nick Saban can't dictate to a kid where he wants to transfer. Mm-hmm. Who was the safety Georgia brought in 2 years ago that was on the team that played at Alabama that, Nick didn't want him to go here and there and all that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of become the Nick Saban rule, is schools can't dictate. Now they just put him into a big pool of water, and now all the coaches and everything can come after them.
And it will be interesting to see if Justin Fields gets a waiver and can play next year. I have a feeling he is going to get the waiver.
Oh, I think he is going to. I can't imagine.
He gave the waiver to Shea Patterson because of what happened at Ole Miss. You see, but then again, I don't know why you have to get a waiver. I mean, it's not like, again, not like Mel Tucker had to get a waiver to go coach at Colorado.
I agree with you. I don't dispute it, but it's the archaic. As Steve Spurrier always likes to say, the NCAA is a 1950s rule book that's trying to govern in the 2000s.
And so this is something that I know some Georgia fans are all up in their feelings about Justin Fields leaving. But, I think it says something good about the program, too. I think if you kind of take it from that angle here, you have a program that where you can lose a five-star in Jacob Eason, you can lose a five-star. And won't it be interesting in Justin Fields? Won't it be interesting that to see what happens with Jacob Eason at Washington?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It'll be fascinating because I wonder if he's going to mature into a Heisman candidate or if he's going to revert into just a nothing guy.
Yeah, think about it. Think about how long it's been since he played football.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time since you've seen Jacob Eason get on the field and play any football. So, yeah, I mean, I will tell you, I never thought that Jake Fromm was going to be this kind of player.
No,
I mean, if you'd have told me Jake Fromm, in his second year was going to be one of the top six or seven quarterbacks in America, I'd have been like, that's going to be – how's he going to beat out Jacob Eason? Well, I mean, things happen in life, and you see – when you recruit really well and you coach kids up, at the end of the day, those stars don't mean a whole lot. If you got a kid that and I know Jake was a five-star for one, I think Rivals had him as a five. He was the only five-star. He was only a five-star with Rivals, I think it was, and everybody else had him at kind of four. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. If you coach a kid up and bring him on campus and do with him what you think you can do with him, don't matter. That's why I say talk to me in 2 or 3 years about what your recruiting class looks like, especially by the time you shake everybody out. Remember the dream class that Mark Richt brought in with, was that Isaiah Crowell and all those guys? That was the dream class and all that.
Yeah, it happens to be dream classes.
Yeah, right? Well, how'd that work out for Georgia?
Yeah, the number one, I go to Hiawatha Francisco. It's a name nobody knows, and there's a reason. Hiawatha Francisco was the most heavily recruited high school player in the nation out of Cincinnati Moeller, who's running back. In the 1980s, and he went to Notre Dame, and it was ballyhooed. It was the first time that we actually had
– was that Jerry coaching him?
It was Jerry Faust, and it was the first time that we had ESPN go to a high school for an announcement, and they went to Hiawatha Francisco, number one running back, number one player. I mean, it was supposed to win multiple – you ever heard of him?
No.
And by the way, he didn't get injured.
Okay. But you barely heard of Ron Paulus, only because you and your buddy Bino said you were going to win two Heismans.
Bino's not a bad guy, my buddy. No. God rest his soul. Nolan Smith, he's mentioned the if you want a pass rush at Georgia, you're going to get one. Their big get is Nolan Smith, who by some accounts, number one player in the nation, defensive end, is going to be a NFL star. One of the things I love about today, by the way, is we talk about, the Nolan Smiths or, you know, whatever we talk about, Derek Stingley Jr. Or whoever we mention in the course of today and tomorrow, is that these are brand new names to almost all fans, and yet four years from now, they'll be stars.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love the kids who just kind of come out of nowhere and decide that they're going to be a football player and come on one of these campuses and just make a name for themselves. So, but this is the world you have to live in. This is where George is at, is you have to live in that. I get it. Randy McMichael always yells about this 5-star and 4-star and all that kind of stuff. But that's the world you have to live in. I mean, that when you're Georgia, there's a reason why Alabama and Clemson are where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just Trevor Lawrence. It was that, what was it, Xavier Thomas, too, who was also one of the top defensive player in the nation that came in to Clemson as well. That's the world you got to live in.
Dan Quinn at 7:45 live this morning. Our first foray into the Windy Zone is next. On the morning show with John and today, John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
No one else has the NFL or Super Bowl 53 coverage like us, because we're your home for the NFL in Atlanta. Super Bowl 53 plays here. Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Windy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
Well, kind of some sad news to start PWZ off with and the day off with, but Penny Marshall died of complications from diabetes on Monday. She was 75 years old. You may remember her. She played Laverne on Laverne and Shirley. She also directed one of my favorite movies, which was Big with Tom Hanks, directed A League of Their Own and Awakenings. MLB tweeting out yesterday, we joined the baseball community in mourning the passing of Penny Marshall, who directed A League of Their Own. She was also a big Clippers fan, so Chris Paul and many in the Clippers organization also tweeting out, Chris Paul saying, sure gonna miss hearing your words of encouragement, Penny. Your family is in our prayers today. May you rest in peace. So Penny Marshall of Laverne and Shirley passing away yesterday.
Former Mrs. Rob Reiner.
Yes, former Mrs. Rob Reiner.
It was Gary Marshall, right, was her dad,
correct,
the TV producer or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was a very sweet lady. I got the opportunity to meet her on one of our Hawks trips out, and it was during the Fabulous Forum days, and Dominique introduced me to her. And obviously, having watched Laverne and Shirley, you were a big fan of the show. If you were a big fan of the show, you immediately was starstruck in meeting her, but she was a very humble individual.
So. Drinking your milk and Pepsi.
That's right.
Yeah. So, again, you know, Gary Marshall's her brother.
Oh, brother. Okay, I'm sorry.
And then her sister, Penny's sister, Ronnie Helen, is my godmother. So I've got a little family connection. So,
yeah, you've been holding that out?
Well, when I told her now, we just got to the story.
Terry wants us to talk about random stuff, and you just wait till now?
Wow.
Yeah, so when I was a kid.
Arthur, better check Ancestry. He might be a relative of Beano Cook, telling you.
What was funny, when I was a kid, I do have one Penny Marshall. Well, you know, one Penny Marshall story. So Penny came to where we lived because Ronnie, her sister, and my mom were best friends, and we lived across the street from each other. And here comes Rob and Carl. And Carl was the big star at the time, Carl Reiner, because of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Right.
I'm a little kid, you know. And nobody knew who Rob was. And it was sort of funny because when he showed up on All of the Family, we're like, how did Rob get this job? Well, your dad's Carl Reiner. Yeah. I wonder how.
Yeah. who's legendary himself out of it. That's good. So you got bloodlines to famous people, John.
Well, yeah. I mean, not bloodlines. She's only my godmother. It's not blood.
Well, close enough. Close enough for government work.
He's carried it off here. I mean, this is a comedy every day.
Yeah true.
Man. A sitcom.
We're all in the family. Yeah, I know.
So many.
You're starting to think about stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Married with children family, you know.
So many
the
TV
Bundys.
Puns. I still have never seen Laverne and Shirley.
Wendy.
She hasn't seen Godfather or Goodfellas or anything like that. So I mean, what do you expect? I learned this a long time ago working with Wendy when we would work together at night.
Seen a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot of things I had to fill in Wendy on like movies and pop culture and things like that.
Have you seen things like Tom and Jerry, the Flintstones?
I've seen Tom and Jerry and the Flintstones. I've seen the Jetsons, but
you know what she does know. But you do watch a lot of. You know, you and I have talked about game shows. You're a big game show fan, so
I love the old school game shows.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean,
although we disagree with the best game show of all time, is I think
and
not
what
thinking
was that?
Oh, the best game show of all time is Match Game. Not even close.
Yeah. Oh, I love match game. Yeah. The old school match game, though.
Yeah.
The new school match game is
well, I mean,
as
no,
Gene,
well,
Gene Rayburn's Gene the greatest Rayburn. Host.
Sure. I watch that every single day.
Match game's the best game show, and the match game theme is the best theme song of all time.
And it's on every single day, by the way.
Is Gong old Show, it was Gong Show a game show?
Yes.
Gong Show, yeah.
You didn't like Gong Show?
I like Gong Show, but the second best game show is Press Your Luck. With the great late,
oh, no,
with the late great
so,
Peter. Oh
that's
no,
so bad.
With the late great
it's
Peter
so
Tamarkin.
Bad. Yes,
how
no.
dare you?
It's almost annoyingly
you?
Bad.
How
it's annoyingly
dare
bad.
You? Which Big one? Bucks, no whammies.
No,
I know that's what makes it annoying.
Oh, it's great.
Which one is the one where you had to solve like the words?
Concentration.
Or, concentration.
Yes.
Yes.
With
I
Alex
loved
Trebek, wasn't he the host of that?
No.
He was that Burt Convy?
No, concentration was it Wink Martindale?
Got to look that up.
I don't know.
Wink,
it's old school.
Wink did.
Gotta concentrate on that.
Wink did tic tac toe.
Yeah. There was just a certain guy.
That's
who
the
did.
Name I was looking for.
Yeah, tic tac toe.
Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale. Yes. Yeah. Wink Martindale.
I don't know how we got off on game shows, but we did.
Yeah, there's one game show that I liked. It was probably, I don't know if it was in the 80s or not, that comes on sometimes on TV, but you answer questions and you can choose like a prize during. The game where you can like stop and then they offer you like a prize and you can take off
well,
so many points.
That's why I always thought Let's Make a Deal was the best game show ever.
Let's Make a Deal?
Well, that was when, I mean.
Oh,
when
it's
you,
still on.
Is that when you got your first color television?
I mean, right.
You know that show's still on. Wayne Brady hosts it now. Let's Make a Deal.
Is
on
it really?
Every single day at
is
10
really?
A.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
CBS.
Or 10:30.
Yeah, CBS. As a matter of fact, the.
I have a.
Monty
right.
Hall.
I actually have a autographed baseball card of Monty Hall.
Do you really?
Yes. Yes. He did. There was a set that he was in a few years ago, and I pulled it. I got an autographed card of so I've got Monty Hall's autograph.
As a matter of fact, the original host of Concentration was Hugh Downs.
Oh wow!
Wow!
From 2020,
Hugh Downs, newsman, 2020. Yeah,
he's no longer with us.
No,
right?
He's,
yeah.
No, he's,
yeah.
No,
yeah. How many packs of Marlboros did he smoke a day?
Well, a few, but they were the sponsor, so
that's true. Yeah. See that back in the old days, you know, you had liquor and cigars and everything that sponsored all these shows.
Oh yeah, well, so Winston sponsored Get Smart.
Yeah, well, and you could that's smoke right. on the
yeah.
shows.
Well, yeah,
oh,
Johnny
yeah.
Carson chain smoked.
Yeah,
insane
absolutely.
To see.
Yeah,
no, Groucho legitimately would smoke cigars on his game shows.
Oh, that's the name of my bunny.
Yeah,
Groucho.
You bet your life.
Yeah.
Aw. Hey, buddy. Well, we're entering into the second to last week of the NFL regular season. So USA Today putting out a rundown of the Super Bowl odds for every playoff contender. Believe it or not, the Cleveland Browns are still in the hunt.
Yes.
And their odds are extremely long. So if you're going to bet on the Cleveland Browns, who are 6-7-1 right now, their playoff chance is less than 1%. Their Super Bowl odds, 5,000-1. The Saints having the best odds, 8-5 Super Bowl odds, followed by the LA Rams, 9-2. Kansas City Chiefs, they've clinched a playoff spot as well. Their Super Bowl odds, 6-1. Chargers, 7-1. Patriots, 8-1. Steelers, 14-1. And we can go on and on down the list. But who would you guys put your money on?
Well, I sure as hell not betting on the Saints. I mean, I don't care if I, you know, I mean, not gonna
I mean, you have the Texans, Bears, Cowboys, Seahawks, Vikings, Ravens, Colts, Eagles, Titans, Panthers, Redskins, Dolphins,
See,
and the Cleveland.
The way I
Saints,
do it,
Saints get home field all the way through.
Yeah,
the
yes,
Super Bowl.
Right, of course.
They get home field all the way through. It's a wrap.
Yeah,
they ain't losing at home, I can tell you that. Right, Arthur? That team ain't going to lose at home in the playoffs.
No. 5-0 under the Sean Payton era.
See, this is why I don't bet anymore because, I mean, I always look for the steal deep, you know, to try to get the big hit. And so if I'm doing that list, I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles and put my money there. Defending champs.
The Eagles are 100-1.
Yeah, see, and I'm taking the 100-1.
Take the long shot.
Right, put 100 bucks down, try and win 10 grand, you know.
You
I mean,
do
that's
the same with
do.
The Titans. The Titans are playing really good football,
I know, but
and
I guess.
They're 100-1.
Right.
Titans are 100-1. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah,
it's going to be that high.
But I would do that. I would always go to the 100-1. Yeah. I don't want to bet. I don't ever want to bet somebody that's 2-1. That's no fun.
The Colts are 80-1.
I mean, there's been times
the
when like
winning the Super Bowl.
Patriots would be like a 5-7. You know, favorite. Like,
right.
Like
yeah.
You,
why would
like
you bet?
You, yeah. You couldn't win as much back as what you bet.
Did you hear? Speaking of betting, did you hear the people who made the bet for the Seattle game Sunday?
Oh yeah, they lost like
$500,000 straight up
straight
for
up
the Seahawks to win
to beat the Niners.
Yes.
They lost like it was like $569,000, something insane, or
$534,000. I laugh and I chuckle. This is why I don't bet anymore.
Good
Some
Lord.
Dude bets $500,000, and
Man,
an overtime field goal by the Niners cost you $500,000.
Did Mike Bell do that? Just saying.
Well, if you're putting that kind of money down, I'm assuming you have that kind of money to lose.
Yeah, sadly, most people don't. True. Hey, you can spend your spring vacation on a Royal Caribbean cruise with Atlanta football players Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones, Rico Allen, and Devondre Campbell. Grizz is going to be hosted by the voices of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Wes Durham and Dave Archer. Go to our events page at 929thegame.com to book your cruise vacation today with the Atlanta Falcons radio team and some football guys, right? Should be a lot of fun if you're out there on the waters of the Caribbean this spring. When we get back, speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, where they stand now, headed towards the game against Carolina on Sunday, Dan Quinn at 7:45 live this morning on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.